Thank you, Jeff. If you have your Bible, open with me to Matthew, the second chapter. Matthew chapter 2, we'll begin in the beginning of that chapter. Matthew chapter 2, verse 1. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." And when Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of all the people together, he demanded of them where this Christ should be born. And they said unto him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of you shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel.'" Then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search diligently for the young child. And when you have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also." When they had heard the king, they departed. And lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts: gold, frankincense, myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. And God blesses the reading of his word. Join with me as we pray. Father, we ask now that you would take your word, Father, that you would teach us. Father, that you would prepare us for days ahead. And Father, you would teach us to deal with days that have gone by. Father, we pray that you would focus our attention on Jesus. Thank you for this hour. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Well, through the Christmas season, we have been looking at Christmas stars, the stars of the Christmas story. We've talked about Mary and Joseph, and certainly they are key characters to what took place and unfolded on that Christmas morning. There were the shepherds who came in, and you gotta deal with the shepherds if you're dealing with Christmas. And then there are the angels, and what a great chorus came to sing the praise or challenge, shout out the praise of Jesus Christ being born. The Savior had come. Now, if you think of the Nativity, and you think of the Nativity scene, Nativity scenes normally have Mary and Joseph and the angels and the shepherds, and certainly you've got to have Jesus. And so there's a baby laying there in the straw, and most times when you see a nativity scene, there are some other people. Who are the other people that are there? The wise men. And there are normally three wise men. And they are all there gathered together. Would it surprise you to know that most of what the Bible tells us about Christmas happened after the birth of Jesus? Most of what it tells us that took place, it fills us in about the events that took place after the baby actually came. This passage takes place after the baby came. Now, I don't want to burst anybody's bubble too much, but hopefully it will not surprise you to understand that the wise men did not show up on the night Jesus was born. They weren't there at the manger. In fact, they were never at the manger. They came later. We know there were Baptists. They came late. Day late, a week, a month, no, probably over a year. The star still marked the spot. Jesus was still there, and almost maybe a year to 2 years after the birth of Jesus, the wise men show up. If you read this passage, you will find that Jesus is referred to not as a baby anymore, but as a young child. Isn't it funny how we allow what people's perceptions are to affect what we think took place without going to the Bible and just reading what took place? You see, the Bible says Jesus was a young child when the wise men came. Not in a manger anymore. The scripture very clearly says that he's in a house. Now, several months later, anybody knows Mary would not have allowed him to keep them in a stall. He had skills. By the way, if you're looking for a husband, look for somebody with skills. It's great if they can do something. And if they can do something to get paid for it, that's even better. And so Joseph had skills. And so wherever he was, he could work. And Mary not being quite ready to go back on that camel ride with a young baby, immediately they stayed in Bethlehem for an extended period of time. They moved into a house. You know, when a child is born today, I've been instructed in the information to get. I'm supposed to know by the time I get back to the church if it was a boy or if it was a girl. I'm supposed to know how much the baby weighed. I'm supposed to know how long the baby was. And in some rare occasions, I'm asked for the Apgar score. Never know that. But anyway, in that day, what we needed to know was that the Messiah had come. Matthew is not interested in all the little details. He's interested in the big picture. He has not given us a chronological order account. In 1:22, it says, these things were done that it might be fulfilled. In 2:15, it says that it might be fulfilled. Fulfilled is the key word in the gospel according to Matthew. What Matthew is telling us, this is the Messiah. This is the one that came and fulfilled all the prophecies, over 300 prophecies about the first coming of Jesus. This child fulfilled them all. This is not just an accident. This is a plan of God carefully carried out in such a way to let you know that the Messiah has come. This is not just any child. This is the Christ child. Matthew wants us to know that how Jesus was received. Largely in the area, he was ignored. I mean, after all, had they known, they would have polished off the finest delivery room in the city. He was in a stable. And don't get too angry at the innkeeper. The reality is being in a stable was better just than being out in the wilderness. And so they didn't prepare for him, but the Christ came. Matthew wants us to understand that some actually despised his coming. Jesus was not just anyone coming into the world. Jesus came as the Savior of the world. Not just of a few people, but of all the world. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." It is a reality. Jesus came for everybody. It shouldn't be a surprise then that there are some who read the Bible, who knew God's word, who read and believed God's promise, and when they knew it was time, came looking. In Proverbs 13:20, it says, "He that follows wise men shall be wise." If you want to be smart, hang around smart people. By the way, if you want to be smart, hang around smart people and keep your mouth shut. Let them do the talking, nod every now and then, you'll look smart. We're going to look at what these smart men accomplished. We're going to learn some wisdom from the wise men. Wise men want the truth. These men are driven by a star. In verse 1, it says, Jesus will be born in Bethlehem. Now, Bethlehem was a very familiar place, very familiar to the Jews. It's a place that was marked in their story, the story of the Jews. There was that special love story of Ruth and Boaz, and it took place in Bethlehem. They fell in love in Bethlehem. They had their son in Bethlehem, and David, King David, was born in Bethlehem. Columbus is known as the Fountain City. You may not have known that, but it's the Fountain City. If you look around enough, you'll find some fountains. Bethlehem was the city of David. Now later, the city of David became to be known as Jerusalem, was the city of David, but in this time, Bethlehem was known as the city of David. The name Bethlehem actually means house of bread. This shows a little bit of God's sense of humor. Here in the house of bread, God allows Jesus, the bread of life, to be born. So the bread of life comes out of the house of bread. We don't know a lot about the wise men. And whenever I talk about the wise men, I have people that try to give me information. We don't know a lot of information. May I tell you, the information about the wise men comes from the Bible, and the only true information we know about them is biblical. There are some legendary things that have come to be and have come to be said about the wise men. We don't know their names. Now, I know when I say this, you may know their names. You may know that some have called them Melchior, Balthazar, and Casper. Not the ghosts, but the wise men. But if you were from Ethiopia, you would know that their names were Hor, Karsuden, and Bassanator. From other places, other names. What were their names? Let me give you a good biblical answer. We don't know. God didn't choose to tell us. So we don't know their names. Where were they from? Persia. Maybe. We don't know. They were from the east. We figure Savannah. Someplace in the east. Would it surprise you to know that different nations in the east have claimed that they are the home of the wise men? And you can actually go some places and visit the homes of the wise men. Tourist dollars are important. Truth, maybe not so much. We know what the Bible says. We don't know their names. We don't know where they came from, other than the east. We do not know how many there were. Now, Brother Jerry, you know that there were three. We three kings of Orient are. No, we don't know. We know that there were three gifts, three types of gifts. We don't know how much. They gave him gold. I'm thinking they gave him gold, but they didn't give him a whole lot of gold. I mean, Mary and Joseph didn't all of a sudden move into a palace. They gave him frankincense. They gave him myrrh. There's a baby gift for you. Myrrh. So we don't know exactly who they were. We don't know exactly where they came from. We don't know exactly how much they brought. But we know they were wise. They were wise because they came looking for Jesus. And my friend, if you are here today looking for Jesus, that is a spot of wisdom. In fact, you need to be in God's house every time the doors are open, then this, as we move it into a new year, looking for Jesus. They were magi. Now, were they kings? We don't know. They were magi. That's what we know. That's what the Bible says. That's what we know. Well, what is a magi? Well, they were astronomers. They were the scientists of the day. They were philosophers. They were advisors to kings and princes. They were experts in the heavens. That is, they knew where the stars were supposed to be. So they come and they ask the very first question in the New Testament. The very first question in the New Testament, where is he that is born king of the Jews? Now, the first question of the Old Testament was asked by God, and it was, where are you? Adam and Eve had hidden because they had sinned, and God comes and says, where are you? That first question points out our problem. Adam and Eve had sinned against God, and so the question is, you've gone away from me, where are you? We have sinned against God, we've gone away from God, and God's first question to us is, where are you? You got to know that you're in sin. You got to know that you're a sinner in order to need a Savior. The first question in the New Testament gives us the key to the problem of where we are. We are sinners. We need a Savior. Where is he that is born King of the Jews? Where is the Savior? Verse 2, we have seen his star in the east and we are come to worship him. Some say that this star is a star that appears between Saturn and Jupiter about this time of year. I believe this particular star was a special star. I believe it was Jesus' star. I believe it was a glory star. And I believe it in a unique way marked the sky to where you could follow that star and know exactly where it was pointing. God had Israel and led them by a cloud. Now he points to where Jesus is and marks it by a star. The wise men saw the star. They knew it was out of the ordinary. They knew it was one that was not normally in the sky, and they had studied the scriptures. The scriptures had spread. You know, the Jews were to be a nation of priests, and they had carried the word of God to the east. We do know that. And so the word of God had spread. These had studied God's word, and they are following God's word and what God says to find the Christ. They took seriously what God's word said. You need to take seriously what God's word says. So the wise men had an awareness of the scriptures. They knew the prophecy, Numbers 24:17, there shall arise a star. God got their attention. God seeks to get your attention. He seeks to get your attention through Jesus. Listen, to the architect, he is the chief cornerstone. To the baker, he is the bread of life. To the forest, he's the rose of Sharon. To the carpenter, he is a firm foundation. To the geologist, he is the rock of ages. To the physician, he is the great physician. If men will be honest with their own hearts, they will be drawn to worship Jesus. These wise men were drawn by the heavens. These wise men were bothered by the heathen. In verse 3, it says, Herod got this word and he was troubled. The word means he was thrown into stress. Herod is the king. Now, one of the things you find out when you go to Israel is Herod did some good things. Our view of Herod is pretty much all dark, and indeed he did a lot of bad things, but Herod did some good things. Herod was a builder. Herod was a master builder. Herod designed amazing structures that you can still go to and see the remnants of today. Masada, you go to Masada, you go to the top of Masada. What do you find on the top of Masada? Well, you find a resort. A resort overlooking the Dead Sea with a steam room built in. I don't know why Herod thought he needed a steam room in the middle of the desert right next to the Dead Sea, but anyway, he did. He was able to construct it and build it. He was able to build a cistern system where there was water, a constant water supply to the top of Masada. He was very good at those things. But he was very bad at following God. When he heard that this was the king of the Jews, he said, wait a minute, that's my job. I'm the king of the Jews. But the question was, where is he that is born king of the Jews? Herod was not born king of the Jews. Herod bought being king of the Jews. Herod jockeyed for his position with Rome. There's a claim on his throne, and he goes wild. Herod would go insane. Herod did not want anybody near his throne. Listen, when he thought that his mother would come against him, he killed his mother. He killed his wife's sons. He killed his own son. He killed his wife, Miranomi. Augustus said, you would be better off being Herod's pig than being one of his sons. He was insane over protecting his power. Verse 3 tells us he was troubled and all Jerusalem with him. Listen, if Herod had a problem, he made sure everybody else had a problem. In fact, when Herod was getting close to his death, he was a little concerned that there wouldn't be enough mourning, enough weeping when he died. So he instructed his soldiers to go out and kill the leaders of the city so that there would be a lot of crying when he passed away. Herod hates Jesus, but he doesn't know Jesus. There are Herods in this world that come against God, that come against Jesus. They're trying to turn people away from Jesus today. Don't be turned away. Herod gets the people together. In verse 4, the chief priest and the scribes, they were the ones that were supposed to know the Bible. And so he asked, where is the Christ to be born? In Micah 5:2, it says very clearly, Bethlehem. Verse 6 quotes Micah. These men had all the Bible facts. They knew where the Messiah was to be born. Listen, they knew that the Messiah was predicted. They knew the Messiah was to be born. They knew that the Messiah was God coming to earth. And yet they would not travel 5 miles to find out for themselves. Now what that tells you is they had the facts, but they didn't have the faith. They didn't really believe what the Bible said. Had they believed, they would have been there with the wise men worshiping, but that's not where they were. There are people all over Columbus that have the facts, but don't have the faith. We need to live by the faith. We need to encourage people to come and worship Jesus. We need to worship Jesus like we really believe in Jesus. You want to change 2018? You want to make it better? You want to make it a more fulfilling year? You want to make it a more accomplished year? Then start believing what the Bible says and doing it. You'll be amazed. The wise men follow the Bible. They follow the prophecies. You know, there was a statistician that researched out and said that the chances of all these 300-plus prophecies becoming fulfilled in one person was 1 in a septillion. A septillion is 1 in 10 with 21 zeros after it. I can't calculate like that. Let's just say it's very, 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 very unlikely. And yet it took place. They have the truth. The wise men seek Jesus. Herod opposes Jesus. And the scribes ignore Jesus. But the wise men seek the truth. When the wise men get the truth, the wise men wonder at the truth. In verses 7 through 10, Herod asked them when Jesus was born. He says, when you find him, come back and tell me. I'll come and worship him too. Now we know Jesus is getting older. In verse 8, verse 9, verse 11, he is the young child. This young child is the one that brings the joy of Christmas. Who is this child? Chapter 1 says he's the son of David. He is a child of prophecy. He's the one that the Bible told us was coming. Chapter 2 says he is the son of Mary. That means he is a child of history. This is no myth. This is reality. Peter said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. That's the child of eternity. This is Jesus. Where did the child come from? Well, he came from glory. What did he come to do? Jesus said, I'm come to seek and to save that which were lost. In Matthew 1:21, it says, you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Do you need to be delivered from your sins? It is only through Jesus. You need forgiveness? You got to come to Jesus. You want to be redeemed? Jesus is the only way. You want to go to heaven? He is the only way. Verse 10, when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. They knew the Bible. They saw the sign. They knew what had happened. They got happy. Listen, when you start following God's word, you're going to see God fulfilling his word, and that should bring joy to your heart. And that joy should be spread. They wondered over the truth. And then wise men worship the truth. In verse 11, they fell down and worshiped him. They brought gifts. You know, we need to be giving to Jesus. We need to give our lives to Jesus. We need to give our time to Jesus. In the new year, there are going to be days when you have to decide, what am I going to do on Sunday? What am I going to do? You got so many things to do. If I don't have anything to do, I'll go to church. Shouldn't it be because it is God's house, because we come to worship him and we should come to worship him, shouldn't that set your priority? I'm going to be in church. I'm going to be worshiping the Lord. And then I'll do other things around that. My priority will rise to the top, and our priority for the new year should be Jesus. The wise men's priority became Jesus. And so they were willing to leave their home in the east. They were willing to travel the miles that it took. You know, it is very likely that the wise men started looking for the Christ child when the Christ child was born. And the travel took them a year and a half to 2 years. They were willing to do whatever it took to get close to Jesus. What are you willing to do to get close to Jesus? Shouldn't you be willing to organize your calendar? Shouldn't you be willing to organize your schedule? Shouldn't you make it his schedule and not yours at all? They brought gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Gold was the gift for a king. Jesus is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Frankincense was the gift for a priest. He is our high priest. He is ever interceding. He's praying for you and for me. They brought myrrh. Myrrh is the gift of a prophet. He will redeem us. But myrrh was also an embalming ointment. I don't know if you have ever brought embalming ointment to a baby. It's an unusual gift. Probably one that they'll try to find a way to return. In this case, it had meaning. You see, the gold represented his royalty, he King of Kings. The frankincense represented his deity. He is Almighty God. The myrrh represented his humanity. He came to die for you and for me. There's a tradition that the kings thought about what they would bring. And one thought, well, you know, what the world needs, the world's in such a mess, the world needs a ruler. The world needs a king, a leader, so I'll bring gold. The other says, well, the world really needs to bow down and know God, so I'll bring frankincense. And the third says, no, what the world needs is a Savior because it's lost in sin. So I'll bring myrrh. They come and find Mary and Joseph, and they hear Mary. Mary's song, which is in this passage of Scripture, and Mary is crying out in her song. And she says, my soul does magnify the Lord. And the wise man hears his cue and says, the Lord, the King, here is gold. Mary says, my spirit shall rejoice in God. And the wise man hears the cue and says, oh, here is frankincense to our God. And then Mary says, my soul shall rejoice in God, my Savior. And the wise men hears the cue and says, here is myrrh. The wise men worshiped. And when they had worshiped, the Bible says they went home another way. The good news of Christmas is you come to Jesus just like you are. We sing that song, just as I am, you know, without one plea. You know, just like we are, we come to Jesus just like we are. We are sinners, we are poor, we're wretched, we're blind, we have no hope in ourselves, and we come to Jesus like we are. Oh, but when you come to Jesus, he'll forgive your sin, he will save your soul, and you get to go away another way. Another person. Change has power to come into your life and mold you and make you what God wants you to be. If you are willing to come to Jesus, he is willing to give you all you need to change. The wise men were wise because they came to Jesus. They followed God's word and they went home another way. My friend, you can be wise today if you'll come to Jesus. If you'll follow God's word, and then you'll follow his path and go home another way. Just following Jesus day by day. That's how you have a new year that's worth living. That's where how you get blessed. That's how you see God work in your life and through you. Today, if you don't know Jesus, we ask you to come to know him. Just walk down the aisle, say, I want Jesus, and we'll pray together. He'll come into your heart. It'll be the wisest thing you have ever done, that you will ever do. If you're here and you know him, isn't it time to stop playing games? Isn't it time to wise up? Shouldn't we be following him with all that we are and all that we have? And maybe you just want to come and kneel at this time at the altar and say, Lord, I give this new year to you. Take it. Make me what you want me to be. Let me accomplish what you want me to accomplish. God calls to your heart. I hope you'll come. Let's stand for prayer. Father, we thank you now for this moment. We pray, Father, that you would move in our hearts to decisions that we need to make. Father, in this room are some that have never met Jesus. And Father, today they need to come to you. They need to know you. They need to follow you. I pray, Father, that today they will come. Father, in this room are believers that Father, have perhaps gotten away from you, and today they need to come back and surrender completely, not part of their life, but all of their life to you. Guide us now to decisions. In Jesus' name, amen. As we sing, would you come?